Easing our way through the day on a Tuesday morning, a nice mild Tuesday morning with the weather improving over the next 36 hours before a poor end to the week. How's the form with you this autumn time? Lots of talk about this draft bill to enhance civil servants' power. Civil servants don't seem to want the power and the politicians don't seem to want the bill. But the Secretary of State is obviously pushing ahead with this. Stormont politicians have criticised Karen Bradley's plans for legislation to give local civil servants the enhanced powers. But it's, you know, as you know, well over 600 days since the Northern Ireland Assembly collapsed. Something has to be done. What can be done? Let me speak to the Deputy Leader of the SDLP, Nicola Mallon. Nicola Mallon, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
So what do you make of this idea in the round? Is there any crumbs of comfort in it for you?
No, sadly. I mean, there isn't. I think very frustratingly, Frank, you could just hit replay on our previous conversations after meetings with the Secretary of State, because once again, you know, we hear a lot of talk about the Secretary of State doing all that she can to restore devolution. But when you look past those words, it's empty rhetoric, because there is no real action to restore devolution. We're in this ludicrous situation now where legislation is being prepared to give unelected civil servants cover to take decisions affecting your everyday life and my everyday life, while politicians should be taking those decisions and are not. And we don't even have the convening of a genuine real talks process after, you know, what is it, 20 months now without a government. I just think it's absolutely shameful.
But maybe she knows that you could talk to the cows come home and the DUP and Sinn Féin aren't going to go back into government. So presuming you don't get back into government, what should she do?
Well, we can understand that there are operational decisions, so everyday decisions that need to be taken. But we're very clear that decisions above that, decisions that are controversial, that are significant, shouldn't be left to be taken by civil servants. As you said, civil servants don't want to be in this position. What we find unfathomable is that 20 months on, you know, we don't even have the willingness from the DUP and Sinn Féin to sit down and talk. So we are looking to the two governments who are co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement to put pressure on them to create a talks process to force people to get around the table to do the job that they were elected to do. It is absolutely shameful, and all of this in the face of Brexit. So we hear through the media that we've got Brexit, so that's an obstacle to having a successful talks process. We have RHI, that's an obstacle. We have talks of internal issues within the DUP. We have Sinn Féin preparing for an election in the South. All of these things are excuses. The most important thing in all of this are the people of Northern Ireland. Now, we all get into politics regardless of our ideology, I would argue, because we wanted to make a difference. We want to try to change the society around us and shape it in a better way. And yet for 20 months, us and the SDLP and the Alliance and Greens and the Ulster Unions have been denied from doing that. So I think it's crunch time, and I think it would be really good to hear from the DUP and from Sinn Féin to say exactly why will you not sit down around a table, try to overcome differences, try to form a government so that we can make sure that we're doing our best when it comes to our health service, to our education service, to housing, that we're creating employment opportunities for our young people. And that's what I would really want to know, because at the moment, we're voiceless, we're powerless, and it's pretty shameless, the actions of some politicians and their words.
Well, we know exactly what the DUP and Sinn Féin are going to say when they do come on, the rare time that they do come on. The DUP will say they're ready for action straight away, and the Sinn Féin will say, give us equality. And the DUP will say, we're ready for action straight away, and Sinn Féin will say, give us equality. So the bottom line is the DUP aren't going to give Sinn Féin equality, and Sinn Féin aren't going to go back in until the DUP give them equality. So it goes round and round and round.
Yeah, but Frank, we need to examine very closely all of those words, okay? So Sinn Féin say, we demand equality. What does equality mean? Because if we look back at the deal in February, it was a single issue. It was around the standalone Irish Language Act. We talk about DUP being ready to go into government tomorrow. They talk about being obstructed from doing that because of Sinn Féin's intransigence. It's the DUP's intransigence to the Irish language that stopped many of them from being able to support the deal that their party leader, whatever is said, was almost signing up to. So I think we need to closely examine the words that people are using. And the thing is, above all of this, we have overcome much more difficult issues in the past. We have had much darker days. And with leadership and with courage, we were able to overcome it. And that's what's lacking in the situation today, right across the board.
Do you get a sense that it'll all fall into place after Brexit?
I think that it's very difficult to say. I think if politicians were acting responsibly, they would be trying to do what they can to shape things positively for people. I think what's happening now is we're in a situation where there are a lot of politicians willing to just sit back and see what way the cards fall and to see how they can play that to their own individual advantage. And I think that that's pretty shameful because we know that Brexit is going to have huge consequences. We know we're only a matter of weeks out and there's still so much uncertainty and chaos. And politicians are using some very, very hard rhetoric and inflammatory language around it, all of which is unhelpful.
And one final question. Would you, if you were the power broker, go back into government with the DUP if you felt they weren't giving you, as a nationalist, equality?
Well, I think that if you go in and build an executive on the way that it was built before, it's doomed to fail. It's like building a house on sand. It is very clear, despite all of the glossy brochures in the lead-up to the breakdown where the DUP and Sinn Féin told us that everything was wonderful around the programme for government, there were huge problems. That's why the SDLP took the very difficult decision to go into opposition last time round. What we want to see is an executive that works, genuine power sharing, getting back to the spirit of power sharing and actually working in the best interests of everybody. If that's the place that we get to, and it's not a difficult place to get to, if we can get there, then certainly the SDLP would look very constructively and positively at being part of an executive. But we won't be part of any sham. And that's, I think, what we need to do. These are the kind of discussions we need to be having around the table about the type of executive that we want, the priorities that we want to see in government, and above all else, how we can work together to ensure that the best interests of the people of Northern Ireland are served.
Okay, Nicola Mallon, Deputy Leader of the SDLP, thank you for your time. Kelly Armstrong is with the Alliance Party. Kelly Armstrong, are you as critical as Nicola Mallon is of the plans of the Secretary of State?
I think we're extremely disappointed by the plans by the Secretary of State. This is the Secretary of State managing or treading water, probably is the best thing to do it. Yesterday was like Groundhog Day. We need somebody who's going to catch this situation and move it on. We don't need to have still this stalemate continuing on and on and on. We need to be able to move forward. And unfortunately, at this time, the Secretary of State is distracted. While Brexit is coming into a key fortnight now, the UK government just want to see the us Northern Irish people pushed out of the way. Like, get rid of them, just keep them quiet in the corner until we can get these negotiations done, which is very difficult because our future is being talked about over our heads. We need to see full transparency coming forth from the UK government and from the Irish government about what's happening in those negotiations. But locally here, we're seeing nothing happening on talks. There's talks about talks again, Frank, and I'm sure you and all your listeners are sick to the back teeth of it. I'm sick to the back teeth of it. It's time to get down to the table. We have said that the way forward to break the impasse, something different, is to have an independent facilitator, somebody who can go in for these next few weeks, while Brexit is distracting a lot of people and RHI is taken away from people being able to concentrate, that independent facilitator can sit down with people and say, right, what are your problems? Why can you not get back around the table to talk? What are the issues that you need to have addressed? Get all that formulated, create a report, provide that to both governments as co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement, and then get the rest of us back around the table and say, actually, this is all the things that you agree on, and these are the things that you don't agree on. So that's the way we need to move forward. We can't have this treading water anymore. We're letting down Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is missing out on opportunities. There are senior civil servants who are quoted today on some of the Twitter feeds that saying that Northern Ireland, our growth rate, our economic growth rate was 1.1%, whereas at the south it was 7%. You know, this is what happens when you don't have people in taking leadership and taking political decisions. We're missing out on opportunities. We can't have people out there who are going to spend 10% of their life on a hospital waiting list. We need to make changes for the better for people who live here. And it's time to move forward. It is extremely frustrating. And as Nicola has said, there are those of us who are willing to get back into government. There are those of us who are willing to take those difficult decisions with our economic budget that's coming forward, which is not going to be good. There are those of us who want to work for Northern Ireland. And there are others who are simply playing party political games that are putting their party before people.
Do you not understand that there are far bigger fish to fry for the Republic of Ireland's government and for Theresa May's government than Northern Ireland? And I think you used the term about they just sit in the corner and be quiet until things are resolved. We must seem to those people that the entire future of the Republic of Ireland is hanging in the balance from an economic point of view regarding a decision on Brexit. Theresa May is trying to steer one of the most historic moves in the history of Great Britain in terms of Brexit. And here we are with a template for running a country that we're not able to adhere to. And we must look to those who are bigger than us, those who are looking in on us as incredibly immature.
Well, do you know what? It's actually easier for those big parties, big governments, to keep us out of the way at the moment, because it is the Northern Irish border with the south of Ireland that's causing them the issues, and that's why it's taken so long with these negotiations of Brexit. But we're not being quiet, because don't forget, a group of politicians from Northern Ireland went to Brussels so that our voices could be heard there. So the majority of people in Northern Ireland's voice could be heard. We talk regularly to the Prime Minister and to 10 Downing Street and to Karen Bradley, the Secretary of State. They're not ignoring us, but what they are simply doing is saying, could you just stay back for a little bit longer? We'll deal with your talks and we'll deal with your government issue. I'm sure that they're looking at us and going, why can't you get us sorted out? Well, I throw that back, Frank, and I say, do you know what? The Northern Ireland parties, especially Sinn Féin and DUP, have come to an impasse. They broke down in February. I didn't get the opportunity to be at those talks in February, and neither did the SDLP or the Ulster Unionist Party. So Alliance was held out of those talks. So in February, there was an impasse. The DUP and Sinn Féin buffered up against each other, couldn't come to a deal and have fallen out. So instead of the two governments actually taking their co-guarantor responsibilities for the Good Friday Agreement seriously, they're just ignoring us. They're letting us sit in limbo here instead of saying, you know what, we know Brexit's going on, we know there's other things happening, but actually the key thing is that devolution in Northern Ireland needs to be restored. And I know there's other people who think that this wonderful thing of direct rule is going to be some magic wand that's going to cure everything. Really? I worked in a community and voluntary sector organisation under direct rule the last time, and it was not an easy thing to do. And I have to say, from our civil servants' point of view, they need politicians back to take the decisions. We're prepared to take the decisions. Why are some other politicians not going to do that?
Okay, Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party, thank you for your time. We'll ask Brian Rowan to run his expert eye over all of this in just a moment. Now, I want to speak to Brian Rowan, keeping a close eye on development or lack of development at Stormont. Brian, good morning.
Hiya, Frank. Good morning.
You've been writing about this, Brian, and indeed you've been observing. Most of us are getting frustrated, I think. Analyse it for me, please.
Well, I think we heard all of that with Nicola and Kelly just a few moments ago, the very clear message that politics is stuck, that it's jogging on the spot. I think we're in this phase of disagreement politics, Frank, a deepening trench, if you like. The brokenness of the Parliament on Stormont's Hill, now well beyond farce and pantomime. The divisions and divide over Brexit, not knowing what the shape of that will be and its consequences and implications. A British government, Prime Minister, Secretary of State and a Northern Ireland office, all hostages to 10 DUP votes at Westminster. You have the fallout from the broken agreement of February when the bar was set, I think, at the lowest possible height for the DUP to jump, and it won't be that low again. The RHI fallout, and we're watching other issues rewind, if you like, Frank, into the problem zone, issues such as legacy and policing. So that's the mess that the government is sleepwalking in. So focused on self-interest and survival that the politics of this place has been relegated low on the priorities list and taken to a point when the abnormal becomes normal. You know, we hardly listen or blink now when we hear the news of 600 plus days without government. And I think in that days, 600 plus days could so easily become 1,600 days without government.
So what can be done? What do you see coming down the line? Do we all have to wait till Brexit's over and then presume that the pieces will fall into the jigsaw?
Well, I think it's more than waiting until Brexit is over. I think that London arrangement, that Tory DUP arrangement, That being held hostage to 10 votes means the British government is not in a position to take any bold initiative here. So, a government dependent, so dependent on those votes is not going to, if you like, run ahead of those votes and the need for those votes. So trying to get the type of process, negotiation process in place that might begin to move things, Frank, just seems impossible at this stage. What do we need? We need a new negotiation process. We need an independent or international chair. We need wider participation. We need to go back to the things that worked in the past. The Good Friday Agreement, the politics of that, steered through by Senator George Mitchell. Other big issues were General John de Shastlin on the arms issue and Chris Patten on policing, chaired those commissions and worked things through. But there seems no mood, no willingness at this stage to create that type of process with outside help, with wider participation. And so we jog on the spot and the trench gets deeper.
You've written about this, Brian, recently, and you compared it to Manchester United, Newcastle last weekend. Manchester United needing to win the game, Newcastle, lowest team in the league, 2-0 up. Everyone thinking, oh, Man United are finished. And then Mourinho did something and Manchester United ended up winning the game 3-2. Now, I'm not the biggest fan in the world of Mourinho, but I look around our politicians right across Great Britain and Ireland. I don't see many Mourinhos giving him his credit. I don't see many people who can magic a win out of where we are at the moment.
Well, I think in all of this fallout, Frank, and we don't know what's going to happen over Brexit. We don't know if the DUP Tory arrangement will definitely survive through Brexit. If it were to crumble or if it was to crack, then the DUP is going to need Stormont more than Sinn Féin needs it. And the price is going to be higher. It's going to be higher than the draft agreement of February, when I talked about the bar being lowered to make it an easier jump for the DUP. But unless there is certainty next time round, around issues such as Irish language, marriage equality, the Bill of Rights, proper partnership government that Nicola Mallon and Kelly Armstrong were talking about, unless we have some way of addressing the legacy issue, then putting together an executive similar to what has happened in the past, that's not going to survive. It's not going to stand up. So next time round, Frank, they have to get it right because they're going to get one more chance at this. You can't after 600 plus days out of government, potentially 1,000 plus days before we get back to government, have an executive that falls within a matter of weeks or a matter of months thereafter. So they need a negotiation that gets these issues settled, resolved, off the table, off the agenda. But just look at legacy, and you will have heard many of the arguments last week, Frank, as we came to the end of that Northern Ireland office consultation. And when you listen to the submissions, read the submissions that were made, listen to the commentary around those submissions, we are no closer to an agreement on a legacy process than we were a decade ago when Eames Bradley began their work. So it is going to take a huge effort to put politics back together again. And I was writing in that piece, my fear is that in the sleepwalk in the corridors of politics and government, people are going to get serious about a negotiation at a point when it may be too late because people are switching off. If you'd asked me some months ago, what next at Stormont, I might have said to you, who knows? But that who knows could very quickly become who cares if this sleepwalk continues for much longer.
It's a very negative but realistic commentary. Brian Rowan, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. This treading water reference has come up a number of times. It's the old story, isn't it? When you get tired treading water, you either get out of the pool or you drown. So Where are we? You can continue to let us know. 0289 0333 105.